Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I have a very special guest with me. So welcome, Kimberly. How are you doing?
Hey, thank you. I'm great. I'm feeling pretty refreshed. I just came back from a few weeks of holiday, so kind of ready to get back into routine and the swing of things.
Glad you're feeling refreshed and you had a break as well. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. So we're going to be talking about self-confidence and dating today and relationships. Mm-hmm. So just to introduce Kimberly to the podcast, and then we'll get into the conversation. So Kimberly is a certified dating and relationship coach and also a master neuro-linguistic practitioner who supports men to attract and keep healthy, loving relationships. So fantastic, fantastic thing to be focusing on with lots of guys out there needing help. And I certainly as kind of one of being one of them. So definitely can relate to that. So it's a great thing you're doing. Can you tell us a little bit about what got you into this area and maybe a little bit more about what you do that you have to add from what I said?
Yeah, for sure. I always say like how I got into coaching and specifically working with men is like, it's kind of a strange story. I had no idea I was going to end up becoming a coach and working in this niche. I know there are some people that grow up and they know exactly what they want to do. I wasn't one of those people. So I actually ended up spending about 10 years working in financial derivatives. I'm from Vancouver, BC, Canada, but I decided to travel overseas to have some fun, and backpack. Turned out I landed in Sydney, Australia, and ended up getting a job in financial derivatives, which is a very masculine, industry, right? There's not a lot of females. Pardon me. There wasn't many on the broking floor that I worked on. In fact, maybe one lady that sat on the bonds desk, maybe one or two in the back office. And I was pretty much the only lady like on a floor of about like 98 men. So I've always worked with men in different ways. And I, you know, did pretty well in this corporate arena. You know, you kind of have to be pretty assertive and pretty ballsy to succeed in that a kind of industry and environment. And just through working with these men, Aussie men in particular, that are raised to kind of like be tough Aussie blokes and show no emotion and get into rugby and sports and betting and drinking and all this kind of stuff, I was really thrown into that environment. And I suppose where this kind of led me over the many years was witnessing like the shit that guys go through, the balance of like trying to maintain a very successful but also stressful position, and then manage like delicate family life and relationships. And a lot of these guys were doing a pretty good job, and some of them were really, really struggling. And I wasn't even really consciously aware of it. It was just part of the community that I was in. And many, many, many years later, I move up to Singapore with this firm. I start speaking to a coach myself, a coach provided to all of the employees by our CEO. He said, you know, go talk about whatever problems you have. Like, we just want you to show up and like be efficient at work, but we also want to support like whatever is going on in your lives. You know, if it's conflict between people in the office or if it's relationship stress, like we just want to support you to have somewhere to go to talk about this. And I was like, yeah, I want someone to talk to. Is like, if this free, like I'm going to tell them all my problems. So I started getting support, and turns out that the things that were stressing me the most in my life had to do with the relationships I was having. So here I am getting support from my own relationships, and also like in this environment where I'm like witnessing other people struggle with their relationships. Like guy got engaged a couple times and those kind of continue to fall through. There's infidelity in that industry. There's just lots going on. And long story short, all of these realizations kind of led me to realize that as much as I love working in the corporate world, I really wanted to get into more of a helping practitioner space. Like I saw that the type of individual I was and the comfort that these men had just kind of sharing what was going on in their lives made me realize that that's also something that I could do really well. And Without going into too many details, I kind of had this aha moment that I was like, I want to become a coach, like the coach I was speaking with. Mm-hmm. And that sent me on this journey of discovering how to get into the coaching space, what kind of coach I wanted to become. And I didn't have the clarity that I wanted to coach men on dating and relationships. In fact, I just thought, I want to help people feel more confident, like similar to you. I wanted to be a confidence coach. And that's very broad, as I'm sure you well know, like that covers everything under the sun. Mm. And I realized that was maybe too big of a piece of the pie for me to start off with. So I hired business coaches and they helped me recognize where I'm really, really strong, which is talking with and working with men. So it kind of over time narrowed itself down to, okay, now I'm going to coach men and coach men on confidence. And guess what the men are struggling the most with, at least the ones that I was attracting, confidence around dating and relationships. So through like natural selection, I worked my niche into doing what I do now. And of course I got all the supplemental training that one can get to go along with it. So it's not just, you know, I'm sharing experience. It's also like the academic side, but here I am supporting and helping men with their love lives. Hopefully I gave you a short version there. I could go on forever.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. And how you find it. And often I think we want to be like, it sounded like obviously you went to work and you're working in Australia and you sort of stumbled across it. And often like opportunities and different circumstances can present themselves to us and we can never tell which way life is going. And it sounds like for you, it just like felt right when you found that opportunity.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I also struggle with confidence my whole life too, as a young girl. You know, I had eating disorder when I was younger. I thought that I had to dress really sexy just to attract men. And that meant I went out in the worst outfits when I was younger, like thinking that that's what beauty was. And I had this real self-limited belief around my own capability and my own femininity as a woman. And you know, so I was going through my own kind of shit growing up, like everyone does. And I also was having kind of relationships that weren't working out. And I didn't really understand why. I kept thinking it was the other person until I finally realized, oh, maybe there's something that I can work on myself here. And so a lot of the stuff I do end up coaching men on is things that I've had to do myself, of course. And I'm very sensitive to the particular differences that men kind of deal with and the different kind of societal messages that men are taught. And often these men are needing like a tender kind of loving guide to help them. Maybe they're not ready to work with the type of kind of maybe a male coach or mentor that's a little more like assertive, like get shit done, like pick up the pieces. And they're kind of looking for more of a softer approach to matters of the heart. And that's sometimes where I can have a different edge or a different kind of advantage, or men can have a different advantage working with me, is that I do have that female perspective that often they are looking for. But I, you know, I help some, but I can't help everybody. Not everyone's going to work with my style. Right. So.
Yeah. It's all a different fit and kind of just go on the coaches, all coaches kind of work like differently and stuff. Some are like
exactly
very strapped, you know, more perhaps the mentor strategist side of like do this this. Some are very, you know, listen and, you know, heartfelt and not so much about strategy, getting to the root cause of it. So
I'd say I have a combo of both, right? Like, we need that little gentle nudge from time to time, but we also need to be in a really safe, comfortable space to actually get to that vulnerability. Right? Because usually one of the issues that men coming to me are dealing with is this kind of, I would call it an inability or not sure. They don't really necessarily know how to get in touch with how they're really feeling about things. And so there's a big emotional piece that we need to do. And then on the other side, it's also learning to be more assertive, particularly with women. So having really strong boundaries and like overcoming this Mr. Nice Guy syndrome, which that's the type of men I'm attracting, is really deeply wonderful, nice men. But that niceness is also becoming a weakness for them when it comes to relationships, because they are getting pushed around by the women in their lives. And it further deteriorates their confidence. So it's a part we have to work on.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought those ones up. So a couple of challenges. So are there any other like main challenges you encounter with guys?
Yeah.
Like obviously we can come across, like there can be these things like blaming external circumstances and things like that, but it usually comes back to, you know, the mastering the internal world at the time. But do you find there's any particular challenges that you're encountering often internally for guys?
It's definitely, well, there's two types of men that I serve, right? So right now we're kind of talking about the men that are kind of coming to me and they're single or just starting a relationship and they're a little unsure what to do. Usually they are struggling with an ability to communicate how they feel. So there's a communication kind of barrier there. And that comes with a real lack of confidence. So they're often saying things to me like, I've been in a relationship before and it destroyed me, or I'm at an all-time low with confidence because of what happened in my past. And usually it's because these guys have tried everything to please their partner, or they're thinking they're doing everything right or trying to be right all the time, and it's not working out. And they're going, well, what's going on? Like, I'm doing everything for this woman, or I'm trying to read all these articles and be that right kind of guy, and it still isn't working. My confidence is gone because I don't know how to operate anymore. I think that I'm doing the right things, but why isn't it working for me? And so they're saying, okay, well, let me get a coach or work with someone that can help me see what I can't see. So they're usually feeling quite emotionally lost, right? And they're not necessarily sure how to take that next step. So that, you know, that really does relate to often our mindset around things, like how they're viewing relationships. And of course it comes down to, the beliefs we have, like, what are we taught about what a healthy relationship looks like? What are we taught about how men pursue women? What are we taught about, intimacy and all these types of things? So usually a lot of the work I'm doing with men is understanding, you know, where they're at right now and how they rate their kind of confidence towards these particular areas of life. And then also unpacking like how they form some of their beliefs. And then we, like the work you do, I imagine, we're breaking a lot of those limited beliefs down, creating new ones that are a lot more supportive. And so they're getting that kind of personalized support by me. And then we're getting them out there again. You know, we're getting them back out online dating. I'm encouraging men to actually approach women in public or do things that they maybe haven't done before. So it's really uncomfortable, of course, but it's like, if what you have been doing has not been working, we need to start learning how to tweak some of that behavior. Similar to what you do as well, right? There's a huge mindset piece that goes along with all the work that I do.
Yeah. And a lot of what you said on about coming out of the comfort zone, like approaching women in public and things like that. Like for me, there's always the piece of like, you work on the psychology, you know, what they believe about life and themselves and other people. There's also like taking action alongside it.
That's
working on both of those is key. So working on the psychology, and it's like, I could be this great person, but not doing the action to support it, you know, it's going to knock you back. But if you're constantly pushing, you know, if you're not working on your psychology, you're going to not back yourself as much. So
totally.
So you've got a similar approach in that respect.
Yeah. And the action taking is the hardest part of the coaching I do with men, right? Like usually we'll come to an agreement and they might try something, but it's ultimately up to them if they are going to take that step. And I have men that work with me that take that step right away. And I have men that I work with that it takes a lot longer for them to even take that first step. And that's okay. It's just different journey for everybody. But yes, there has to be an action component too, because knowledge is power, right? But knowledge alone is not enough. Like if I believe that I can have a successful relationship, but then I never date or go out there, I'm never going to find one. So yeah, the two have to definitely marry up with one another.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's only potential power unless you're going to use it.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And again, that is the hardest part, is doing something about your situation.
Yeah, that's true. So you obviously you work, you said you've got your two different kinds of guys you work with, like those who are like single or just getting or dating or whatever, just getting into perhaps a relationship. And then you've got the other side, I guess, is the guys who are in relationships, but they want to improve it, or it's a challenge.
Yeah, exactly. That second kind of camp of men are, they're in relationships. The caveat here is that they usually want to continue being in it, but they're really unsure what to do and how to make things better. So they'll come to someone like myself first because they need a really healthy, appropriate sounding board to kind of express what's going on and to start learning some techniques to turn toward their partner and make some improvements. And then of course it may get to a point where I'm even saying to them, look, you know, now that you're able to break these barriers down and start having some conversations with your partner and you're starting to see some improvement, or maybe it's shaking things up in other areas, it may be that I then recommend that they, you know, see a couples counselor or do something, you know, working together, because that's not my focus. But usually these guys need a place to start, right? For example, I'm working with a client that is over on the island here in British Columbia, and he came to me because he's going, I think I want to get divorced. I'm like, wow, okay, whoa, that's a big thought for you to have. Like, you've been with this person for 20 years, you have a family together. Let's talk about it. Let me be here to support you emotionally as you're processing this information. It's not for me to decide whether he should or shouldn't. I never tell people what to do with their situations, but I'm there to help him reflect what's going on back to him and to give him some techniques to start understanding what role he's playing that might be causing some of that like discomfort or need to kind of escape the relationship. Turns out in this particular scenario, this man has not advocated for himself in the relationship at all. So he's been putting his needs to the side in order to please his partner for 15, 20 years. He's tapped out, right? So what we're actually focusing on right now is for him to learn how to recreate passion in his own life, separate from the relationship first, and also then learn to communicate to his partner what he's needing. Because that's what he's really needing right now. He doesn't want to leave this person. He just doesn't feel like he has another option. Mm. And as we work through this, he's recognizing that, yeah, wait a second, I do have permission to go have fun or go on my hunting trip or ski 4 extra runs even when you're done. Like, before, he'd been stopping himself because he thought that was the right thing to do. And he's realizing very quickly that he's kind of been living a shell of himself for a very, very long time. That happens a lot with men I work with that are in relationships. They're feeling very trapped. So they're rediscovering themselves ultimately through coaching with me.
Yeah. And self-awareness is key, and rediscovering what you want and, you know, what's going to serve you. Because we often get into the wheels of life of just like going on this autopilot. Mm-hmm. And so used to a behavior, like it sounds like that guy was kind of, or that example you just gave there of him doing the same things again and again to kind of like please. Have you kind of
codependency for sure? Yeah. In that example, go ahead.
And obviously, in that case, it was, we were talking about because he believed there wasn't, you know, another option other than, you know, the divorce. Have you, you know, do you work or uncover like any guys who are in a relationship and it's just very toxic? Because I know there's a lot of people out there, whether it's a woman and she's with perhaps a guy who's being quite toxic, and or it's a guy and he's with a woman that's been quite toxic.
Yeah,
perhaps it's a same-sex relationship and one of them's, you know, being toxic to the other, or in those cases, do you ever come across those situations where you work with someone they're potentially with a toxic partner?
Yeah, I have. I think of someone right now in particular that I worked with for a couple months, and he was just getting, it was kind of like a newish relationship. And every time we would have a conversation, he'd be expressing to me things that were going on between the two of them and how awful he was feeling. And so by his own definition, he started to realize that the relationship wasn't for him. Now, I'm not the first person to say, without speaking to the other individual, let's label them as toxic. Who knows really what's going on between two people? But when somebody is in a relationship where they feel minimized, where they don't feel comfortable expressing what's going on, where they're getting this feeling that they're being used or manipulated, or that they're not important, but the other person only is, then you start to recognize that there's this inequality. Call it toxic, call it incompatibility, whatever you want to call it. I definitely helped this guy recognize that that wasn't the right relationship for him based on what he expressed to me that he was really looking for. So once I understood the kind of relationship that he was wanting to have, and then we dissected what was currently going on, we realized there was a huge gap. And so he really built a lot of his confidence throughout that process to put up some really strong boundaries and actually walk away by choice, by his choice. And he says to me all the time, he comes back on messages to me every couple of months, all the time saying like, you changed my life, Kimberly, because because he so easily was going to lower his value and his worth as a man just to try and make that relationship work, even though nothing about it felt good for him. So I'm pleased that he chose himself to walk away, right? I never once said, you know, you have to do this or you have to do that. It was like, well, what decision are you going to make based on the information that's in front of you? And he's like, yeah, he's like, it's really clear to me that this isn't right. So yeah, I definitely help men guide them to either create more intimacy and closeness or to recognize that maybe something isn't right for them, but they come to that realization pretty quickly. And I think most people deep down, they know, right? We have that gut intuition where we know it's not right, yet we're trying to make it work. And then we realize, okay, maybe it is time to cut my losses here and move on and get on with my life.
And it can be, that's kind of the beauty of a coach, that you're not, it's not up to you to tell him what's the decision, what he needs to do. You've helped him realize that for himself, and then therefore make the decision and take the action. Which sounds great. And yeah, that's a great example. So if, for anyone like listening, if they feel like they're in, maybe I don't use the word toxic, maybe it's incompatibility or whatever, they feel like they're in a relationship that's just not right for them, what's kind of the first bit of advice you would give them?
Yeah, if they feel like they're in a relationship that's not right for them, there's a few things that they can do. One is get clear on what is a relationship that is right for them, because we need that clarity, right? If we only focus on what we don't want, it's a really dark, it's a really dark space to be in, right? So, cause then you're like, I call it painting yourself in the corner. If we're always like complaining or focusing on the negatives, like we're very trapped. How do you see a way out of that? So the first thing I would say is like, okay, if you're feeling like this isn't right for you, what would feel right? So let's get that clarity first. But also, to somebody that knows they maybe aren't in something that's right for them, I would recommend that they focus more on self-care, on spending time with friends and family, like being around more healthy outlets, because when we make any decision to leave somebody, it's definitely not an easy one. And having the right kind of support around us is going to be really important, right? And a lot of us are in relationships where we're very attached to the other person. So we got to focus on making ourselves feel kind of happy and whole and satisfied without that person. And I'd recommend maybe getting support, whether that's with a coach like myself, or it's a counselor if that feels right, or even group coaching or whatever it is, just like knowing that there's outlets to help you process. Because it's important to process what you're experiencing. If we kind of pack it all down and just jump ship, that processing will come out later. And hopefully it's not coming out with maybe the next relationship where all your stresses are then being dumped on someone else because you never dealt with them. So a lot of things that we can do, get clear on what we do want, make sure we're doing things healthy for ourselves, spending good time with friends and family and getting some support to maybe help us out of that situation if we know that we're the kind of person that needs it. So those are a few things that we'd start with.
Yeah, no, really, really good. Really good tips. And I like the way you said, helping them process through it, because I think often as guys, we tend to want to do things alone sometimes or yeah. not admit it. So I'm glad you brought that one up.
Yeah, men do. Sure. And I mean, I understand why. That's what you have been told to do. Like, don't cry, you know, get out there, be tough. Like, so most of you do pack it down. And that does work as a short-term solution, right? I'm not going to lie. It's a coping strategy that a lot of us have grown up with, and it might have been very successful for a certain amount of time. But over time, it definitely falls apart, right? We then realize that unless we learn to process what's going on, we're not going to have the connection and closeness we truly desire. So at some point, men and ladies are going to have to do that work. And I do it and it sucks and it's hard. So get support maybe.
No, that's it's also, it kind of brings me on to the next question I was going to ask. And it's really like, we can, lots of people like to, you know, give opinions and advice out there. And, you know, sometimes people would like their best intentions to help other people. But I always ask when I'm following, and you know, yourself as a coach is not necessarily tell them what to do, but sometimes when you're following someone's advice, like someone close to you, I always like to ask myself, are they in a position where I'd like to be? And if they're not necessarily in a healthy relationship, why would you take their advice in a non-disrespectful way? So what I was going to ask you on that one, do you ever have people come to you who have, you know, perhaps been following some kind of like bad advice, or someone else told them to do something, and therefore that's gotten you into their head? The reason I'm asking this is just create awareness for the listeners sometimes, because sometimes bad advice is worse than no advice sometimes.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, I think a lot of us can lock on to taking advice from one individual. I think something that is maybe healthy to consider is, if you're getting all your advice from one place, maybe it's time to also look at an alternate opinion from time to time. It's kind of synonymous with what's going on in the world, right? Like, we don't want to be in one camp. We don't want to be so stubborn with one train of thought that we're closed-minded to other perspectives. Yeah. So I would just say to individuals, even if like it's myself you've been following, like, follow other people, please, right? I'm not perfect. I'll make mistakes from time to time. I'll word some of my suggestions or advice differently that will land great with one person and not with someone else. And so I'm the first to say, like, you know, I don't prescribe to this guru one mentor mentality where one person is teaching you everything about life. I just don't think any of us have enough life experience to be guiding someone like that. So definitely check like what you're following and make sure you're getting lots of different sources. It's not intended to like overcomplicate things or confuse you, but just be aware of what you are consuming and how much you take as fact. Like, you know, when it comes to breaking down beliefs and things like that, we usually have to ask ourselves, how do we believe something to be true? Do we just hear it from one person and now it's a fact in our brains? You know, do we have to hear it from multiple people to believe it? Do we have to experience it to believe it? Like, how do you actually come to believe something? So yes, there are people that I do work with that have been taught certain things. I would say religion is going to be part of that, right? I have men that come to me and they have been taught a specific thing by the church on how they should have a healthy relationship. I had a client I brought on months and months and months ago that was very, very religious and was married for a very long time. And the church told him that to be a husband looked like a very specific thing. Yet for 20 years in his relationship, he was terribly unhappy. It ended in divorce. And so he's relearning some of his own beliefs that maybe aren't really perfectly fit into the religion that he grew up in. And I'm not particularly a religious person. So I'm not there saying, oh, wow, everything you've been taught is wrong. Oh my God, you're religious. It's so sinful. You need to believe all these things. I'm just helping him uncover what supports him and what doesn't. And through that, he's kind of reopened his eyes that like he gets to choose how he wants to operate and live in this life. He doesn't have to follow a specific set of guidelines or rules. That can make people feel really stuck. Anyways, that's one example. So yes, I have people that come to me that are very stubborn in a certain belief system. They may not be willing to change it. But usually the first prerequisite of working with any coach is open-mindedness. If you're not open-minded, I can't help you. I don't know who can. So.
It's very, very true. I can relate being a very sort of like open-minded person now, but I remember earlier I've been pretty open-minded usually through my life, but like earlier in my 20s, I remember, you know, just following dating advice, and the guy I was following was like, you should only text them twice a week to keep a vegan. I was like, you know, it was going well, my dating life, and other ways when you see each other or whatever, when you'd met from that night out or whatever, and it was going well, but I was like, no, it's got to be twice a week. And I was wondering why. You realize it's not working because you're not texting. I was like, and then it's
great,
like,
point.
I was like, no, this theory is right. This theory is right. So
yeah.
Take it from me. Don't be.
You're right. I went so deep and profound in my answer there, but you're right. There are people that come to me that have like read a book or read the book, The Game, that came out forever ago, or follow male dating coaches that have like specific rules to follow. I don't prescribe to that. I think rules around dating are a load of horseshit and are going to get you into way more trouble and are going to make you overthink everything. Yes, we don't want to be like super needy and clingy where we're texting people all day long. I'm not going to say that that's good advice either. But like having such strict regimen of when you are allowed to do something or not, is that authentic to you?
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe it does work for you. And then you're going to believe that to be true for everybody, right? But somebody else who's maybe a little bit more of an anxious dater 2 times a week, that probably won't work for them. So we got to find out what works for you, because everybody is unique and everyone needs more of an individualized approach than come work with Kimberly. She's a 90-day program and these are the rules you follow, and I guarantee you're going to find the love of your life in 90 days. Like, no, sorry. It doesn't work that way. Maybe for some people, I don't know.
I know it's kind of a different case, but it's like business as well. Like we're obviously both in the entrepreneurial space, but like different things work for different people. You know, some people find they can communicate more effectively on, you know, Instagram. Other people prefer like a podcast or maybe both. Some people prefer like LinkedIn. Some people prefer YouTube. And yeah, I guess dating, you can hear all these things. You've got all these, you know, people of experience, but what you're saying, it's ultimately what feels right for you.
100%. Like we need to be dating authentically and genuinely, right? If I said that everybody that dates has to be on this dating app, well, how can I say that, right? Like that's not going to be a great experience for everybody. I have clients right now that are getting back into online dating and are trying different dating apps and not even seeing anything remotely like what they're looking for. Whereas others jump on it and it's a sea of what they want, because everyone has different tastes and personalities and everyone's looking for something different. So we have to adapt to the individual, not have some pre-written kind of guideline on how it's like how to lose a guy in 10 days, how to get the girl in 90 days. Like, I don't know. That stuff has never landed for me. It's certainly not how I operate. It's going to work for some people. There are coaches out there that make millions of dollars teaching this stuff, right? But I don't know. But not for me, Johnny. Yeah, not for the guys I work with anyways.
Yeah, getting them to their own realization and what's right for them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said the word authenticity as well, which is a key one as well. So one kind of a final couple of questions left. So one of my questions is, how important do you feel it is for people to surround themselves with the right people to feel good about themselves?
Oh, well, I think that's huge, right? I think we're like the product of the five people we spend the most time around, right? Those are the people that are going to influence how active we are, how we eat, right? What we think, what we're consuming, right? Think about any relationship you've had, like what kind of movies are you watching with them? Podcasts do you listen to? What kind of activities do you do together? It's hugely going to influence how you feel. So definitely, and I'm not the first person to say, oh, when one friend does something wrong, they're toxic and get rid of them. I don't need them in my life. Like, let's not be so dramatic, right? Relationships aren't perfect, but definitely check your surroundings, right? See who you are spending time around and think about what positive things those people bring into your life. And also think about the kind of person they make you, right? Do they make you feel great when you're having success in your life, or do they bring you down, right? Do they make you feel stupid for having a thought that's different than theirs, or do they openly discuss those things with you? Do they lie to you when you say to them, like, hey, like, I've been trying to get healthier this year, like, you know, what's your honest thought on how things are going? And they, oh yeah, you're fine. And they're bullshitting you. You don't want that around you either. Right? You want genuine, true people that can speak their mind. And so, yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that's interesting with the men that I work with is not necessarily them needing to check who they are spending time with, but not having anyone to spend time with. Like, a lot of men are very isolated these days. They don't have a lot of healthy male friendships. A lot of the men that I work with have more female friendships than they do male friendships. They feel more comfortable talking to women than they do men, usually because of how they were brought up. And so it's interesting that you asked that question, because what I usually end up doing with men is helping them seek out healthy friendships because they're lacking them. But yeah, the right kind of people around us does definitely make a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what you're consuming, you know, what are you listening to, reading, watching, what kind of podcasts do you listen to? Especially important nowadays, how are you consuming your information about what's going on in the world right now? Through one source? Because if you are, read some other sources, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always going into the brain, So, you know, if you're filling yourself up with negativity, like I always call out the news, or if you're listening to uplifting, inspirational, you know, podcasts, which makes you think, you know, for yourself a bit more and empowers you.
Then yeah, like your show, right?
Yeah, the self-esteem confidence mindset. I'm glad you brought that one up. But yeah, or, you know, or your podcast, Kimberly, there's many out there, you know, that you can listen to. And you know, the right, it's that you're always taking information in, whether it's those people around you or the, all what you're listening to, what you're watching, what you're reading. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, glad you've kind of, we brought that point up, because I always like to say it as many times as possible. I can. So before we kind of like wrap up today, and we've had some immense value from you and kind of sharing some real great value on, you know, guys who may be, you know, struggling either in a relationship or looking for one, or sort of whatever stage of it they're in. Are there any final points you would share with us that perhaps we've not covered today?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would just say that if you are feeling like dating and or relationships is a challenge or a struggle for you, yet it's a really important part of your life, then I think that should be your permission to get another opinion or get some support in that area. It doesn't mean you have to jump to hiring a coach right away. It could be that you just open your mind to reading some new material on it, or maybe you even go get some counseling for a little while or something, just to like discover yourself a little bit in the process. But definitely don't be quiet about it, because you know how many studies are out there now, including that Harvard 75-year-old study that says like the number one factor that determines the quality and the longevity of our life and our happiness is the quality of the people around us, right? Mm. And our intimate relationships are so profound on how they impact us that if you're not in a healthy relationship or you're struggling to find one, there's no shame or guilt around getting support for it. You would do the same for your physical fitness or for your eating or for your business or any other area. So this should be treated as an equally important area. And again, it doesn't have to be me. It can be anyone because there's tons of people out there that are doing this kind of work. So yeah, just get a little bit of help with it because I did, and it transformed the relationship I'm in. And had I not kind of opened my eyes to some of my own behaviors, then I'd be doing the same thing on repeat. I don't want to live my life on repeat. I don't think anyone else does either. So yeah. Of course, if they want to learn a little bit more about what I do, for guys that are single and dating, and men that I like are wanting to have serious relationships, because that's what I cater to, I've got a just a free ebook they can download. It's called The Dating Handbook for Men, and just covers the kind of typical mistakes men are making, so you can become aware of whether you're making some of those mistakes and how to start overcoming it, just so you can navigate dating a little more smoothly, whether it's your first time dating or you're divorced and you're dating again and you're like, oh my God, it's 2022. How the heck do I navigate this? You might want a few pointers there. Of course, my Instagram has lots of different suggestions and advice too. And if anyone wants to have a conversation, and everything always starts with a free 45 minute consult. So we can do that too. Yeah.
Awesome. And you're heavily using Instagram quite a lot, aren't you? So that's cool.
Trying. I did take 2.5 weeks off. I posted a few stories of like some of my holidays, but it was so refreshing to actually just take that break from it. I recommend everybody does that every now and then, is like, just put it away, put it down. People, go live your life. Don't live it virtually. But yes, I am back online now and sharing some new things and lots of little short videos and dating tips and advice and lots of resources there. So a good place to find me. And that's Kimberly Nina Hill.
Brilliant. Cool. And we'll be sure to link all your information in the description of this episode as well. So it's definitely great. Definitely check out Kimberly's page. It's awesome. I can say so. Such great value on there. So yeah, thank you for everything you do. We appreciate it. And thank you for coming on today, Kimberly.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It was awesome. You're doing so well on this show. So it's great to be a guest and to be brought on. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. So that concludes our episode for today. But remember, work on your self-confidence every single day.